Today's the last day we'll be in the book of Joshua. I realize we haven't covered every chapter, but this is the last. We covered the last chapter of Joshua on the first day of our study. So today we're going to wind this part up, but we're going to keep growing. Amen. We're going to keep dedicating ourselves to spiritual growth and to just making sure we're not the same tomorrow as we are today and the day after. And the day after. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? We're going to read about Joshua. Actually, we're going to read about Caleb this morning. It's Caleb's request of, "Give me this mountain." Joshua chapter 14, verse 6. "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land where your foot is trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you have heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.' And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Michael, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. You may be seated. Caleb, a very interesting individual. 45 years prior to what we just read, he was one of the original 12 spies. And you probably know how the story goes. He went out to spy out the land as he was instructed to by Moses. And when he came back, his attitude was, "Hey, let's do it. Let's take the land." There was a great zeal about that man. A great zeal about him that 45 years ago he was ready to go in, and he didn't care who the enemy was or what how strong the cities were. He didn't care. He said, "Let's go. God's given us the land." And now he's 85 years old. And you know what's changed? Nothing. I mean, you got to look at this guy, and 85 years old, he's saying, "I can go to war. I'm as strong as I ever was. Now give me this mountain. Let's go." Nothing has changed about him. And that just interests me. That just kind of makes me say, what was it that made this man Caleb tick? Well, first thing was devotion. Caleb had a devotion that started in his heart. It was a matter of the heart. In the beginning, as I said, Caleb, 45 years before this, went out with the spies, the 12 spies that were sent out to spy out Canaan land. Now, you know how the story goes. 10 of those spies came back, and what did they say? "We can't do this. We cannot do this. There are giants in the land. The cities are fortified. The walls are high. We cannot do this." But then there was Caleb. Caleb come back and he had walked through the same land with the same people, saw the same things. And Caleb come back and said, let's go do it. We are well able to overcome. You know what the difference is in the two reports 45 years before this? Caleb spoke what was in his heart. And you know what was in his heart? What was in his heart was he had wholly decided to follow the Lord his God. And he had heard from the Lord his God that God had given them the land, that God would fight for them. He had heard and he knew and he trusted his God. Therefore, he said, let's go. Life is filled with the weak canters, aren't it? You ever notice that? Oh, we can't do that. Churches are really good at that. Well, we need to, but we can't do that. We don't have enough money. We need to start a new ministry, but we don't have the room. We need to, but we can't. And because of the weak canters, there are churches today that are in the same position that they were 15 years ago, 10 years ago. Nothing ever changes. Why? Because churches are filled with weak canters. And the problem with weak canters is people believe them. I mean, you can have people screaming from the top of their lungs, let's go, we can do it. God is great. God is powerful. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then you can have this one fellow over here saying, no, we can't do it. Forget it. Guess who people will believe? We can't do it. We can't do it. We don't want to go in debt. We don't want to bite off more than we can chew. And they go with their list of excuses. And if you notice what happened here, when the 10 spies came back giving that negative report, it says the heart of the people melted. Nobody believed Caleb. And as a result, God said, okay, you won't believe me. You can wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So they did. Going absolutely nowhere, waiting for a whole generation of people to die off. And you know what the problem was? The problem was the heart. God said, I'm giving you the land. God said, I'll fight for you. Yet, the people believed the 10 who said, we can't do this. Now, I want you at this point to back up and take notice of how important what you say is in the lives of other people. Okay? What you say, and I'm not just talking about talking bad about somebody, or I'm talking about discouraging people. Do you realize that there are people who will listen to you? You believe that? Nobody ever listens to me. You start out with something negative, something wrong, something that's a downer, and people will listen to you, I promise. And you know why? As James put it, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You want to poison a project? You want to poison your Sunday school class? You want to poison a ministry? Just be the downer, the weak canter. Start talking negative. Oh, listen, I want to tell you, I really appreciate the fact that the folks at Victory are excited. The folks at Victory have a desire to grow in the Lord. It's where you say amen. 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 There you go. I really appreciate that, because it will only take one person screaming their message of we can't, I don't like it, we don't need to do that. And it'll only take that one person to throw a wet blanket on an entire ministry. Because the tongue is full of deadly poison. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Oh, there are people who are just waiting for you to go off on a tangent. There are people just waiting for you to spill out with the negative. And I realize, okay, I'm not a name it and claim it kind of guy. I'm not. I know God can do anything. I know He will empower us to do the ministries that that He leads us to do. And I'm not sitting up here, you're probably thinking, oh, this preacher's got something on his mind. No, I don't. All I have on my mind is to wholly follow the Lord, period. Just as Caleb. Just as Caleb had in his heart. Today, I want to challenge you. Be careful what you say. Not only around church, but be careful what you say around your family. Do you realize your kids are listening to you? Amen. They might not be doing what you say, but they're listening to you. And if you're the Debbie Downer, the weak canners, the I don't like, the whiner, the complainers, guess what? That's what they're going to turn out to be. You ever heard people say, I'll not turn out to be like my daddy, or I'll not turn out to be like my mama? Good luck to you. Good luck. Something happens. I don't know what it is. Listen, you set the tone for the lives of so many people by what you say. And we can't. We won't. We don't like is not an option. The only option there is for the child of God is to wholly follow the Lord our God wherever He leads. You see, it's a matter of the mind. You got to make up your mind. Somewhere along the way, Caleb made up his mind to follow the Lord his God no matter where the Lord his God led. It did not matter if it made sense. It didn't matter if it was logical. It did not matter if it was hard. It did not matter if it was easy. It did not matter if he liked it. It did not matter if he did not like it. His goal was to wholly follow the Lord his God. That word holy, interesting Hebrew word, it means to be filled with something. The only thing that was inside of Caleb, the thing that gave him his zeal, was an abundance of desire to follow God on the inside. Will you wholly follow God? Nobody? Will you wholly follow God? Brother Doug, I'm afraid to amen you there, brother. May step off into deeper water than I'm willing to go. Let me ask you, if God leads you across the street, will you go? Three people will go. If God leads you to the other side of the state, will you go? Amen. If God leads you to another state, will you go? We're getting quieter and quieter, aren't we? If God leads you to another country, will you go? Boy, that was the quietest of all. No place like the good old USA. Oh, listen, my friends. We've got to get rid of that attitude of, oh, that's too far to go. Oh, I don't want to do that. Oh, yeah, we got to get rid of it. And we got to come to the point where you say, God, I don't care where you go. It don't have to make sense. I'll go. Lord, I don't care where you lead. I don't have to get it. I don't have to understand everything. I'll go. Lord, I don't care what everybody else says. If you want me to do something, if you want me involved in a ministry, if you want me to go to the other side of the globe, Lord, I'll go. See, that was what was in Caleb's heart. And right now you're thinking, oh no. But I want to tell you, oh yes. You see, I've learned something, and I may have shared this with you before, but I'm going to share it with you again right now. You may be sitting there thinking, oh, if God leads me to another state, I don't know what I'd do. If God leads you to another state, I'll tell you, you'll rejoice when you get there because He'll put it in your heart. He'll give you a burning desire for the people in that state and the people in that new city. If God leads you to another country, He'll give you a joy that's overflowing when you get there. Because, see, He's not whooping you to make you go somewhere. He's giving you the opportunity to be joyful. Listen, make up your mind. If we're going to grow, we've got to make up our mind that, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll follow. Wherever it is, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Are you there yet? If not, you need to get on board. You need that kind of devotion. Second thing that made Caleb stand out was a diligence about him. I mean, and his diligence, you know, 45 years he's waited. You know why? And here, he's got the same zeal that he had 45 years before. You know what happened? See, he had a promise. When he went over into the promised land before he came back, said, guys, come on, let's go, let's do it. Let's load up. We can take these guys, those giants or nothing. Let's go, let's get them. Everybody said, no, we can't. So he didn't get to go in. But he had a promise. Moses told him at that time, he said, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God, the land where your feet have trod will surely be your inheritance and your children's inheritance. See, he had this promise. And he held on to this promise for 45 years. You see, that's a problem. He had the promise, but the promise wasn't going to happen for another 45 years. That's just not cool, is it? That's just not right. I mean, it was not Caleb's fault that the rest of Israel would not follow God. It was not his fault that he didn't, 45 years before this, get to go into the promised land. It was not his fault. And he did everything right, yet he had to wander in the wilderness with the rest of those people until all that generation passed away. I wonder how often he thought he'd look at those people and say, if it weren't for you, I'd be eating the big grapes in the Holy Land. If it weren't for you, I'd be drinking the milk and honey in God's ground, you know. I'm sure that would have crossed my mind a time or two. But you know what? Through it all, he held on to the promise. And through it all, nothing changed. He never backed down. He never shied away. And you know why? Because he had a reason. Now stay with me right here. He had a reason. You see, you've got to have a reason to do what you do. As a matter of fact, that's the key to consistency. Caleb knew that God made him a promise and that no matter what, that promise was going to happen. That was his reason to keep on keeping on. You've got to have that same reason. Why do I keep coming to church week in and week out? Why do I keep teaching the Bible study week in and week out? After all, they're not listening to me anyway. Why do I continue to be involved with the youth group? After all, I'm not appreciated anyway. You see, you've got to have a reason. You've got to have that thing that makes you keep on keeping on in spite of being discouraged, in spite of the fact that it gets difficult. You've got to have that reason to keep doing what you do. That's why so many fall by the wayside. You wonder how people get really excited today. They stick around for a month, maybe two, and then they fall off and you never see them anymore. See, they don't have that reason other than just the general excitement of the moment. You've got to have a reason. Caleb's reason was the promise of God. Now I want to ask you, what's your reason? What's your reason? Maybe you're here today and you've been one of those kind of been hit and miss. Maybe even fallen away, been out for a while, and you come back. What's your reason? Why do you do what you do? Why do you keep on keeping on? Ooh, I've got an answer. I've got an answer. Found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 verse 18. The apostle Paul said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One of these days it will be worth it all. One of these days, my friends. One of these days. The things that you think are so difficult today are going to pale in comparison to standing in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, he told his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? A place for who? A place for who? For you. You see, Jesus is preparing a place for you. This life is not all there is. And he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of these days, yes, this is difficult here at times. Yes, maybe you're not appreciated at times. Yes, maybe you sacrifice more than anybody else at times. But one of these days, it will be worth it when you stand before your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Nothing will compare to that. You see, you got to have that reason. Why do I keep preaching? I got a reason. Number one, God's put a passion in my heart. Number two, one of these days I know it'd be worth it all. Once before I surrendered to preach, I was talking to my father-in-law. Father-in-law's a man I have a great deal of respect for. And I asked him, I said, Preacher, I don't get it. Why do you keep on? Why do you do what you do? People don't appreciate it. People even abuse you. People even, you know, why do you keep on? You get called at midnight, you go. You get called in the early morning, you go. You know? And he looked at me and he said, because it's what I am. And it took that a while to sink in. He said, it's what I am. That's what God has called me to be. And that's what I'm going to be. You see, at the time I wasn't a pastor, so it was kind of hard for me to really get that. But I want to tell you, you see, it's that kind of passion where you realize, hey, I keep on keeping on because that's who and what I am. And no matter how tough it is, one of these days I'm going to stand before my Savior. And it will be worth it all. I love that song, don't you? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. It will. You got to have your reason. You got to hold on to that reason. That gives you the diligence to keep on keeping on. Then finally, I want to look at Caleb's desire. Oh, what a desire within the heart of that guy. 85 years old, and he was mountain ready. 85 years old. He was ready to go. He said, I'm strong as the day I was when I went over into the promised land before to spy it out 45 years ago. I can fight just as well today as I have ever been able to fight. I'm as ready now as I've ever been. Give me the mountain. Do we ever get in that mentality that our best days are past? Do you? You ever get to thinking, well, you know, I'm just not what I once was. I'm not supposed to be that effective anymore. I want to tell you something. I'm as good as I've ever been. Now, that's not saying a lot because I've never been much good. But it's just too easy to back up and say, well, it's time for those young guys to step up. Let them fill the gaps. Time for somebody else to, you know, fill my shoes. And I'm not just talking about the older generations. I'm talking about people my age, young people. You know? Caleb said, the Lord's kept me alive. The Lord's kept me strong. You know how the Lord kept him alive? The Lord kept him alive so he could fulfill his promise in him. I want to tell you something. You're not here by accident. You're not still drawing your breath by chance. God has kept you alive. And I don't care if you're 15 or if you're 150. If you're still drawing your breath, God still has a purpose for you on this earth. Never come to that point where you say, God's through with me. When He's through with you, He'll take you home. What you have to be right now is mountain ready. And then you've got to request the mountain. See, this is so awesome to me. Caleb's mountain ready. Then he makes his request. Give me the mountain. You got to understand what he's asking for. Give me the mountain where the Anakim are. You know, those guys were giants. They were known... They were known for being big. I was reading the other night and where in the book of, I believe it's Deuteronomy, it's talking about the bed of some of those giants being like 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. That's a big bed. And it's not big just because they wanted room. Those were big guys. Caleb says, give me that mountain where the giants are. Give me the big stuff, where the cities are large, where the walls are high and fortified. See, this was most likely some of the most difficult land to be taken. And Caleb says, I want it. I want it. And if God's with me, I will be able to drive them out. Now, let me ask you this. In this world of convenient Christianity, do you ever pray for the hard stuff? Lord, give me the hard stuff. You see, we have this misconception in general, and a lot of it's preachers' faults and churches' fault, because we're preaching, oh, just all hold hands, everybody be happy, God wants you to be rich, God wants you to be happy, you never have any problems. That's a hogwash. Okay? That's baloney. You're serving the Lord. You look in that, you read that Bible at God's people, and you see real quick, God's people have trouble. God's people have challenges. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to destroy you. Yes, we're going to have trouble. But do you ever pray, Lord, give me the hard job. Give me that job that nobody else wants. Give me that job of the junior high boys in Awana. Give me that job of dealing with people. And I love junior high boys, don't get me wrong. Okay? But you see what I'm saying? See, so many people just want church to be, you know, oh, I come to church, we sing a few songs, we're happy, and let's all skip on the way home. No. No. There's some hard stuff to be done. We need people who are willing to do the hard stuff. Willing to put themselves in that position to do the hard stuff. To pray, Lord, give me that mountain. Is that your attitude? If you want to grow, ask the Lord for the difficult jobs. Not the easy ones. Ask the Lord for those jobs that nobody else wants to do. And when He gives you that job, you be like Caleb. You go take the mountain. Take the mountain. My friends, today, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to have a devotion for the Lord. To make up your mind that no matter what, as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. That kind of devotion. I want to challenge you today. Have a diligence, a keep on keeping on, even though it may be difficult, even though your patience may be stretched thin, even though it's hard. Remember, it will be worth it. Keep your reason in mind. And then finally, this morning I want you to check your desire. What do you really want? What do you really want God to do in your life? What do you really want God to do in this church? And then, I want you to do business with God. As we come to this invitation, are you saved? Are you a child of God? If not, you need to know this. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for you, to pay your punishment upon Calvary, to pay for your sins. And He did. He did all He could do for you. And then He issues His invitation. That if you'll call upon Him, you'll be saved. Now please understand what He's talking about. Call. It is a matter of turning your life over to Jesus Christ. Calling upon Him to save you. Repenting. Turning from the sin in your life. And following Jesus Christ. Have you done that? If not, you need to be saved today. Because contrary to popular opinion, as I said, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and everybody's not going to the same place. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. Have you been saved? Maybe you're here today and you know your desire, your drive, your dedication and what it should be. Maybe it's time for a renewed commitment. Maybe you're here today and the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and say, God, give me that mountain to serve Him like never before. This invitation's for you. This invitation is just very simply for you to do business with Jesus in wherever He leads you. Maybe He's been calling you to a particular ministry. Maybe He's calling you to preach. And you've just been running, running and running. I'll offer you this. You won't be happy. You won't have the joy until you say yes to Jesus. But when you say yes, I promise you it will be worth it all. This morning, will you do business with Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word that reminds us we should have a zeal about us. We should have a drive and a desire to serve you such as never before, because the day of your coming is approaching. Now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray your will be done. I pray you'll give us willing hearts to respond to the conviction of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that moves will be made for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.